Welcome to the Tanakh Podcast. Today, Sefer Chagai, Chapter 2, Perek Bet. Our learning is dedicated to Chayalei Tzva Haganah Yisrael for their safety and for their success, and for the swift return of all of the hostages and refuah shleima for all those injured in this war in Gaza. Here we are looking at Perek Bet of Chagai. A reminder, we are now in the second year of Darius. Jews have returned to Jerusalem and Judea about 17 years ago. They set up a foundation stone on the Temple Mount, but they never succeeded in building the temple for all sorts of reasons. And essentially, Chagai and Zechariah, who we're going to be learning from tomorrow, are the two prophets who encourage the building which takes place from the second year of Darius till the sixth year of Darius, until the temple is finished in the sixth year of Darius, which, by the way, is precisely 70 years after the temple has been destroyed, 70 years from Churban to Binyan. Essentially, Sefer Chagai has four prophecies which take place in a span of just 4 months. Prophecy 1 and 3 share a single theme, and prophecy 2 and 4 share a single theme. So let's explain. Chapter 2 begins with a prophecy which is given on the 21st of Tishrei. 21st of Tishrei, we're talking about Hoshana Rabbah. The people had started work on the temple at the end of Elul, but, you know, it's the Chagim. So who works on the Chagim? So they started building, they took a break, and now on the 21st of Tishrei, as we get to Acharei HaChagim, immediately after the festive period, we have a prophecy addressed to Zerubbabel, who is the political leader. And Chagai addresses the disappointment. Mi bachem anishar asher ra'a et ha'bayit hazeh. Whoever is left, who actually saw the first temple, bichvodo harishon, in its former splendor, uma atem roim oto ata. And now, how does it look to you? Halo kamo ka'ayim b'nechem. It looks like nothing to you. V'ata chazak Zerubbabel, un'um Hashem, v'chazak Yoshua ben Yehotzadak kohen ha'gadol, v'chazak kol am ha'aretz, nu'um Hashem, v'asu, ki ani itchem nu'um Hashem tzva'ot. Basically, he says, Zerubbabel, be strong. Yoshua, Kohen Gadol, be strong. People of Israel, be strong. I'm with you, says God. Because, as he's going to say, in just a little while, Ani Marisha Tashamayim et Aretz, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. And I'm going to shake all the nations. V'hirashti et kol hagoyim, uvau chemdat kol hagoyim. And all the treasures of the nations shall come here. U'mileti et habayit hazeh kavod, amar Hashem tzvakot. And here's the line, Gadol yeh kvod habayit hazeh ha'acharon min harishon. This house is going to be even greater than the first house, amar Hashem tzvakot. U'v'makom hazeh eten shalom nu'um Hashem tzvaot. And in this place, I will grant peace, says God. So what is Chagai predicting? Chagai is predicting first that Beit Sheni, the second temple, will be tremendous, even superior to the first. But second, he says, I'm going to shake the heavens and earth. I'm going to shake the nations. All the treasures of the nations will come here. But what does he mean by that? So I want to turn to prophecy number 4 in verse 21, where he says, Ani, again talking to Zerubbabel, Ani Marisha Tashamayim et Haaretz, I'm going to shake heaven and earth. And now here's the point, V'hafachti kiseim lamlachot. I'm going to overthrow the thrones of kings. Vishmadati chozek mamlachot. I'm going to destroy the might of kingdoms. Mamlachot ha-goyim, sorry. V'hafachti merkava v'roch v'ha. I'm going to overturn chariots and their riders. V'yardu susim v'roch v'hem. Ish becher v'achiv. There are going to be wars, and horses and riders shall fall. Bayom ha'unu mashem. Ekkacha Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel. On that day, I will take you, my servant, Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel. Avdinu umashem v'samticha kechotam. I will make you like a signet. Ki v'chavachartinu umashem tzvaot. What is Haggai saying? The most likely interpretation is this. The people are waiting for independence. We're talking about the second year of Darius. Darius has just come to the throne, second year. Historical records show that rebellions broke out throughout the empire at this period. And they raised hopes, echoed here by Haggai, that the Persian Empire would fall in war. It would be toppled and Israel would be able to regain their independence. So in other words, Nevuah number 2 and number 4, both are talking to Zerubbabel, the political leader. And they're saying, the Persian Empire is going to fall. And as a result of that, you will be kechotam. You will have your own signet ring. You will have your own rule. And the second temple is going to be even greater than the first. So that's Nevuah number 2 and 4. We already studied chapter 1 about the difficult economic circumstances and the belief that God was not with the people, which led the people to think that Lo eit beit Hashem hibanot. It's not the time to build the house of Hashem. But now, on Kislev the 24th, we're given the third Nevuah. Before we speak of its content, let us just note for a second the date, the 24th of Kislev, and the fact that Haggai says that it is the day of the founding of the temple. Look at Pasuk Yudchet, verse 18. It says, Miyom Esrim V'arba Lachi, on the 24th of Kislev, Limin Ayom Asher Yusad Heichal Hashem, Simu Levavachem. Pay attention, he says, from the day the temple is founded. Or take a look at Pasuk Tetvav. Min Ayom Azev Amala, from this day onwards, Miterem Sum Even Al Even Heichal Hashem. When we are about to put stone upon stone in the temple of God. Apparently, on the 24th, they hadn't yet started building, but the building will begin on the 25th of Kislev. So there is actually two prophecies on Kislev the 24th, which is the eve of when the actual construction for the temple is going to begin. And now we understand why Hanukkah is on that important date, the 25th of Kislev. If you read the book of the Maccabees, we're told there that the Greeks deliberately waited till the 25th of Kislev to desecrate the temple altar. And when you read the book of the Maccabees, you don't get any explanation why they did that. Why did they choose that date? But Haggai explains, it was the anniversary of the founding of the temple, the 25th of Kislev. And that's why the Maccabim, the Chashmonaim, waited for that date in order to rededicate Chanukat HaMizbeach, to rededicate the altar of the temple. They'd already cleaned up the temple and lit the lights and all of that, but they waited until the 25th of Kislev to rededicate the altar, Chanukat HaMizbeach. But back to our chapter and back to the third prophecy. What does it say? We're going to see like a pop quiz. Ko amar Hashem Tzvaot, so says God, Sha'al na et ha'kohanim Torah le'mor. Ask the Kohanim the following question. If someone's carrying sacrificial flesh, basar kodesh, in their fold of their garment, and that fold touches bread, stew, wine, oil, or any other food, will that holiness be transmitted? Right? Hayit gadash. And the Kohanim said, no, holiness will not be transmitted. And then Haggai says, im yigatamei nefesh b'chol eila. But what would happen if somebody who is impure by coming into contact with a dead body, if they touch this, and they touch their garment, and then their garment touches food, and the food touches other food, hayitma, will it become impure? And the Kohanim say, yes, it will become impure. And Haggai says, Kena amazeh v'chena goya zeh lefanai no Hashem. So this is what the nation looks to me. So is Maaseh Yedehem. What is this mysterious pop quiz? The way Rashi understands it is that we're about to set up the temple, so Haggai is checking that the Kohanim know the laws of Revi'i L'tumah and Chamishi L'tumah, and he's checking that they know all the rules of transmission of impurity and those rules. But I would argue something different. He's saying, if something's holy, if A is holy and A touches B, touches C, touches D, is holiness transmitted? The answer is no. Is impurity transmitted? The answer is yes. He's saying it's easier to transmit impurity than purity. Holiness is an uphill struggle. Holiness needs effort. Holiness needs work. And if you're expecting to build the Beit Hashem, the holy house of God, you're going to need to work hard. It is not an automatic process. But, says Chagai, Simun alevavchem ani yom hazeh v'mala, pay attention from this day forward, from the 24th day of Kislev, from the day that you've founded the temple of God, ha'od hazer abam gura, v'od ha'gefen v'hateina v'rimon v'eitz hazay lo nasa, min ha'yom hazeh avarech. We're in the middle of the winter, he says. The vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate have not yet borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless them. Right? He says that before this, Me'ayom, you used to come to Aremat Esrim, 20 measures, and you'd only have 10. You'd go to the wine to measure 50 measures, and it'll only yield 20. Hiketi etchem b'shidafon v'yerakon v'abarad. I struck you with blight and mildew and hail. However, from now, this moment on, everything is going to be good. This is a tremendously optimistic prophecy. And what we see here is Chagai as a phenomenal cheerleader of the building of the temple. I know that many of you are thinking, did it take place? Did it actually happen? And the truth is that no, Darius regained his footing. And the Jews never gained their independence, certainly not until the time of the Hashmonaim. They remained under Persian control and then later Greek control. So this is actually an instance where a prophet predicts something, but it doesn't quite come true. Do you know when it did come true? Well, I think the answer is clear. It came true in the time of the Hashmonaim. And that's why the Hashmonaim, you know, really embraced the books of Haggai and Zechariah, which were predicting this great future. Because that independence came true. The overturning of mamlachot, of great empires, came true many hundreds of years hence in the time of Chanukah, in the time of the Maccabees. That's it for today. See you tomorrow for a new Sefer, Sefer Zechariah.